L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Next man up, 102.5, the game. Jake Lyman live at Titans training camp here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Going to be joined shortly by Corey Curtis from News 2. He'll join us live up here at the SeatGeek Terrace in person. Parker Kelly is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Parker, what's going on this morning? How are you?
Oh, nothing much. We are close. I watched Hard Knocks last night again. It just got me really excited because this is the last practice for the Titans before the Seahawks come to town. And it's going to be a really good test for them, but really excited nonetheless.
Yeah, we did. We talked about that on Monday, that we will get an in-depth look at what the joint practice looks like on Hard Knocks next week. I have not watched last night's episode yet. That might be a task for me today to get caught up. It is a beautiful day out here today, and I say beautiful, you know, it's a little bit overcast, sun's not out, but it's not 98 degrees, which is great. And we are excited to be out here for the final Titans open practice before that joint practice on Friday against Seattle. And we are now joined by Corey Curtis from News 2, who sits down with us. Corey, thanks for braving the traffic this morning.
55 minutes from Cool
Springs.
Oh,
my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, we were texting, you know summer is over when the traffic rears its ugly head again.
You know, I drove my daughter to school today, so I know what exactly it is. You know, you drive your kids to school, and then you go to work. And I had to stop for gas, and I was like, this. And then I was like, yeah, it got me.
It's always the worst. I luckily had to drop off my father-in-law's dog in this area this morning early, so
you
I was out
drove
here.
Up and just dropped him off
at a dog sitter.
Okay.
So
I was like, "That's irresponsible, Jake."
I had to be in this area early, so I was able to avoid all of the traffic and get out here in time. We will have practice out here in a little bit over an hour. We'll give you updates. They open this one to the fans, so we can actually give updates today.
I'm up here, and it's my first time up here this year.
Yeah.
And I'm looking out, and number one, I've been here since 2003, so this facility looks nothing like the piece of garbage facility when I got here. So for those of you who don't know it, there are three practice fields, okay? Over the last – for anybody who doesn't think Amy Adams Strunk wants to win, you know, she might make decisions you disagree with. She wants to win, and she puts her money where her mouth is. She spends it. I mean, she has spent it on this facility. She has spent everything on the new stadium.
Right.
But you look at these practice fields, all three of them have been completely dug up and then had new irrigation, heating coils, and everything put in so that they will stay green throughout the season, because these fields used to look like straight trash come November. And, you know, they just because it was all Bermuda, and it would all just die.
Right.
And so now, you know, they just got the third field done. You know, they've been practicing out here, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, right about.
It looks like you could come out here and play golf.
It does.
They look spectacular. They look great. I mean, I think the landscaping crew is to be commended, and I think Amy and her staff are to be commended for making the financial move to give the team – the best surface they can to practice on daily.
No, it's a great setup out here. I mean, they've got the grandstands up. The fans have been filling it up for these open practices. We do have, especially for the ones open to the fans, we have a little bit of an obstructed view up here. You got to kind of stand up and lean and find your way.
We got a Wrigley Field pillar.
We do. We do have a Wrigley Field pillar. Like when they were running the 7-on-7 on Monday,
if they're red zoning, you're in trouble.
I had no idea what was going on. But for the most part,
there is another table down there. You could move.
That
one.
Is true.
You could move. Yeah. You could move one down. Yeah. He just hung somebody out to dry.
Dustin from Hopkinsville says they opened it to the fans. You can tell us what's going on. They'll just be playing pitch and catch all day. Yeah. I mean, you hope it's going to be a better day for the offense. The defense, I would say, won the day on Monday, especially the defensive line. Jeffrey Simmons was all over the field.
I could be wrong. I feel like they play a lot more 11-on-11 in the Saleh administration than I've seen in years past.
Yeah,
like a lot more.
They were out there a ton on Monday. I mean, they did the full field, more scripted. Yeah,
there was a lot more situational.
Right, and then they went and did the two-minute.
Well, they did a whole third down period.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
And then they did the two-minute period. Yeah, so they've done a number, but it's a lot. And I just think there's a whole thing of Saleh believes you get prepared to play football by playing football.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a believer. I'm a believer that there's no exercise that simulates football. You know what I mean? Like, you can run gassers. Right. You maybe burpees. Burpees might be, like, the best thing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, playing is the only thing that really, truly gets you in one. I mean, I remember Walter Payton running hills when I was a kid. Now Derrick Henry runs the hills.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys, you know, they do things to get them bigger, stronger, faster. You know, obviously building endurance, but nothing beats it like coming out here and playing.
Yeah, that's why we always talk about these guys. You can be in gym shape, but it takes a couple of weeks to get in football shape.
Well, that's why they have this new slower ramp-up period for the rookie, because they're all in combine shape. And that's not football shape.
Right, right. Yeah, you do all the training for the draft, and it's all to be best in the underwear Olympics, not actually the best at playing football.
And to advance that a step further is this preseason, where we've seen the guys go 20 plays, they're going to go 25 to 30, and then they're going to go over 30. And
right.
That's all part of the ramp up, and it's nothing new. Mike Vrabel used to talk about, do you want a blister or do you want a callus?
Yeah.
And so he's trying to get the team calloused for when the season gets here, so that when they're playing their first game of the year, it's just not all like for the first time.
Right.
And, because practice and the same and game are not the same. They just aren't. They just the speed just picks up. It's just the natural flow, the natural juices that get going. They're just different. And so, you know, we'll see how it works out. Like, so Andy Reid always plays his starters, and I think he's a pretty good head coach.
He is. Yeah, he's proven that. You were out there on the sideline on Thursday night.
Yeah,
for
they
the
let
Titans
me stand there.
First preseason game. Well done, by the way.
Oh,
love the interviews throughout the.
I got a lot
broadcast.
Of compliments on my Titans polo.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah.
You the ones they were wearing up, Charles and Paul were wearing up in the booth too.
The same
you guys
one.
All have the same one?
No, we don't buy it. The team,
well, I understand.
The team, the team walks into the coaches meeting and hands us three shirts and says, you will wear these for the broadcast. And we say, okay.
Charles and Paul's were a little bit different, I remember from.
Oh, were they?
One of them had stripes, the other one didn't.
Yeah.
At least if I'm remembering correctly.
I think that's because Charles got his late.
Gotcha.
And that was because that's because he got his, and they didn't have one for me.
Oh.
And I'm in a different hotel than they are. And so Charles just said, take mine. And then
I'll figure it out.
Well, because he's at the
hotel. Yeah.
They can give me one here, which made all the sense in the world. But then he ended up getting the shirt, like, really late.
Gotcha.
But so evidently they couldn't track down the exact same shirt. But, it doesn't matter. I mean, to me, if I were them, I would have three different shirts. I'd market it and say, hey, here's three different choices.
You can buy all of them.
Yeah, you can buy all of them at the SeatGeek Terrace.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you know, that's what I would do.
Walking through the pro shop up here, I mean, they've got about everything you can imagine here.
I didn't know there was a pro shop up here until I came up here.
You'll see as practice starts, the fans will start to circulate around.
Are they allowed
us
out here?
They are. When it's open to fans, they are allowed out here.
Can we throw them over the balcony?
No,
we get tired of them?
We cannot. We cannot do that.
Jake, we got to bring up the one issue that at least I had with the broadcast.
I was about to come to you, Parker, because you were going to have something.
What, that we didn't have a Dabo Smith segment?
He had an issue with a specific word you used in an interview.
Okay.
You called Cedric Gray skinny.
Oh,
I don't think any linebacker wants to be referred to as skinny.
And by skinny, I meant he doesn't have a lot of fat on the bone. Lean would have been a better word. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like, James had the weight to lose because he put the weight on. You know, Cedric is pretty chiseled. So chiseled, lean, those both could have been better words, I guess, than skinny. But it was meant as a compliment.
I got what you were trying to go with, that lean down. But, yeah, Parker was like, you can't call a linebacker skinny. That's not what they want to hear.
That dude's a rock, man. I mean, have you seen his neck lately? It's like he could like not wear his seatbelt in his car and be okay. Boom! Cedric's neck wins.
He was out there. The offense and the defense on Monday were drawn back with the back and forth with each other.
I was right down there. It was
Cedric was right
and,
in the middle
and
of it.
Luke Stocker
yeah.
were just screaming at each other. because the third team offense was just carving
up the
defense.
Yeah, they went right down the field for a touchdown.
And all on the ground. They just carved them up on the ground. And, you know, Julius Chestnut's having a good camp. I hate to say it.
Michael Carter looked good on Monday, too.
Michael Carter's had a good camp. But Julius Chestnut, if you go back to the game, he made a play on special teams, and Robert Saleh ran 15 yards out on the field to high-five and hug him. So, I mean, and that might be as big as any run. And Julius Chestnut is one of those preseason heroes. Every year in the preseason, he looks good. Every year.
He had a 34-yard run on Thursday night in San Francisco?
And so we go and we look at Kalel Mullings, who's hurt.
Right.
And, you know, he was hurt last year, and I know he was a draft pick, but if Julius shows he can play special teams, because we were told Kalel was basically drafted to play special teams.
Yeah, former linebacker, kind of the same thing we talked about with Jaron Kanick, of the versatility of what you can do.
But if you think Julius can be a core special teams player for you, I think quite obviously better at running the football.
Yeah.
And so now you've got a choice to make.
Well,
because it can't be for just running the football like it was when he beat out
Hazon Haskins.
Yeah. But that was a terrible decision. And it's not – I like Julius, but Haskins is a really good special teams player.
Right.
And cutting him was a huge mistake.
He might have just signed with the Patriots too. Vrabel brought him back in.
Well, that's a good signing. That is one where I look at Vrabel and go, I would do that too, because he can play special teams.
Yes, he is. Hassan Haskins is now a Patriot.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And the Titans just made a running back signing this morning.
Wow,
actually,
no. So those guys must be hurt worse than they thought.
Let's see. Yeah, because the Titans are signing running back and special teamer D'Ernest Johnson. Cleveland Brown.
Durnst.
Yeah. So
Durnst is here.
Durnst Johnson.
Hey, that guy used to be a starter.
He was with the Browns for a little bit. I remember he was a fantasy waiver wire.
I rostered him.
Yeah.
I rostered him. You know, when you need that third running back, Durnst was on my squad.
So he was with the Patriots as well. So he joins that room with right now Tony Pollard, Singleton, and Kalel Mullings dealing with injuries.
Yeah. I mean, look, we know it's a Pollard-Spears backfield. They really like Nick Singleton.
Yeah.
Despite the obvious pass blocking situation
there. Run over on Thursday night.
I was standing right there. I went, whoa.
I forget who made the hit. It was one of their linebackers off the edge, but just ran right through Singleton, right through Levis in one motion.
You hear about it all the time about initiating contact. This is why they talk about initiating contact. Singleton waited for him on his heels and just got blasted into next week. When you do that, all you are is one of those tackling dummies. That's it. You're a 210-pound tackling dummy.
Yep.
And he just got rocked, and then Levis got rocked. And I'm going to bet that never happens again. Because I guarantee, look, as embarrassing as that was on TV, the film room –
Was probably worse. Yeah.
Infinitely worse. They probably put it on replay. They probably slow-mo'd it. I mean, it was probably
might have set it to music in there.
Yeah. They might have played Titanic with it. I mean, that was as bad as I've seen.
Yeah.
But I like the kid a lot. I mean, I haven't talked to him yet, but I like watching him play. Outside of the pass blocking situation.
Yeah, and that's something that coaches say all the time. It's like you can run the ball good as anybody if you can't protect the passer.
It's usually the reason most teams are slow to play rookie running backs.
Right.
Because that's the part of the game they're the worst at.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know why Vrabel slow played Travion Henderson, but I'm going to guess that might be part of it.
Right. If you can't trust him not to get your quarterback crushed, it's probably not going to work out. At least initially. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will continue to talk Titans throughout the first hour. We'll get into some college football stuff.
Dabo.
Of course, we have to bring up Dabo at some point when Corey
Joe's got him as an elite-level coach.
Well, so does The Athletic in general. We'll talk about that later on.
They had him on the second level, but Joe said he needed to be considered for elite.
Oh, because he has 2 national championships.
You know, if you have a time machine, he's elite. If you're today – If you're in 2026, a guy who starts the season outside of the top 25 is not elite.
That's fair. We're going to talk about The Athletic's coaching tiers because
if Ryan Day is not elite, all right.
Yeah, that's true. They're in the same tier.
Yeah, they're in the same tier, not in the same tier of college football teams.
It's true.
One has a chance to win the national championship. One has a chance to get fired.
Has a chance to get fired.
Well, I think he's going to get fired, but that just means he has a chance to get fired. Look, you guys keep slow. If they go 6-6, 5-7, he is done. They will not put up with that. You guys don't know Clemson like I do.
See,
I covered that program.
That is true. You did. We are going to get into that later on, the tiers in general, but I also realize that you, me, and Parker are just on completely different wavelengths.
I know, that's awesome.
Parker and I are splintered, even on our side, that Dabo's not going to get fired.
I knew Parker was smarter than you.
So we'll get into that coming up in hour number two. Again, Titans going to hit the practice field in about an hour here. We'll give you updates throughout practice once they get into team drills and stuff that, you know, we can actually make conclusions from. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you. We are live at Titans training camp. Final intra-squad practice before the Seahawks come to town on Friday for joint practice number two of the preseason. Let's talk a little bit more about Thursday night's game. We haven't had Corey on since then.
Okay.
Again, you were out on the sideline.
I was ready to talk Spider-Man after that song.
I did. I saw Spider-Man last Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was good.
No, it was fantastic.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
I did keep my promise from our show 2 weeks ago.
I need to go see it again.
I've heard the story of somebody, and I actually know some of my friends who are listening who brought this guy up, who saw it 11 times.
Wow.
In theaters.
That's
great. A lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money.
Already?
It was good. It wasn't that good.
Yes.
I saw Star Wars 14 times in the theater the summer it came out.
Wow.
Which one?
I was like six. First one.
The first one.
I was like 6 years old, six, 7 years old. And I went to the theater, and it was like a life-changing event for me.
Yeah.
And then it went to – so I grew up in this town called Wheaton, Illinois. A lot of people know Naperville. It's right next to Naperville. Naperville was a farm town when I was growing up of about 18,000. Now it's like 250,000.
Now they're home of one of the most dominant Division III football programs in the last 10 years.
Are they really?
Yeah, North Central.
Who's that? Oh, North Central is? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so the downtown Wheaton, there was the Wheaton Theater, which used to be one screen, you know, really kind of flat, where somebody in front of you, you know, you're looking around them, and it had the old fans, you know. It was really old school theater.
Yeah.
And so when the movies got to the Wheaton Theater, they were a dollar.
Wow.
And I was like 7 years old. My mom and dad both worked, and she would just drop me off at the movie theater.
With a dollar?
With a dollar, and I'd go watch Star Wars like over and over and over again. They have chopped that theater up into like six theaters now. It's been a long time since I've been back. I barely recognize it when I do go back.
Yeah, I mean, 13 times. That's
14.
14, excuse me. 14 times seeing Star Wars.
14 times for $14.
You better be able to quote every line at that point.
Yeah, I can. I can. What an incredible smell you've discovered.
On Thursday, Titans' first team offense was out there for three series.
95 yards on the first
95
one.
Yards on the first drive.
You act like it's nothing. You act like the only thing that matters are the two craptastic drives. I get it. But you got to take it all. All right? You've got to take it all. And also, by the way, it's one game.
Yep. It's a quarter of a game.
Yeah, it's not even a full game. I mean, how many games last year was Caleb Williams awful in the first half and then electric in the second half? And I'm not making excuses, and I'm just not saying everything is okay. I'm just saying we need a bigger sample size before we start walking on the bridge looking down wondering if Bon Jovi's going to come and save us, okay?
I mean, maybe that happens on Sunday after the preseason game, depending on how things go.
But, yeah. Yeah, maybe.
But I agree with you. I think there's reason for concern, and this is what we said on Friday morning. Reason for concern because you saw a lot of the issues that Cam Ward had last year.
You'll see him play better.
Right. He needs to be more accurate. He can't hold on to the ball as long as he did a couple of times. But you're right. It's one quarter of a preseason game. It's another data point, but it doesn't mean that the sky is falling.
No. Look, and again, back to the 95-yard drive, what were the two passes that were completed?
It was both layups. Drag route to Calvin Ridley and a screen pass to Gunnar Helm.
They were both layups. And it's that whole thing of taking the layups when they're there and then, you know, knowing when it's time to try to rip one of those. I mean, and that's what, you know, Mahomes does. That's what Stafford does. That's what Burrow does. You know how many times Stafford and Burrow check down? A gabillion.
Yep.
And then, like, when they need it, all of a sudden, zip.
Yep.
It's in there. And that's just part of the maturing process. And I'm not saying that Cam Ward is going to be Stafford or Burrow. I'm just saying it's the first preseason game of his second year with a new coaching staff, and to just like go bonkers after a quarter and a half, I can't do it. I can be concerned. I could say, man, I wish he would play better, you know, than he played in that one. But he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't. And, you know, you go back, like the two misses to Wandale. I mean, they're just smoked in there.
Right.
Heat-seeking missiles, and they both bounce off his hand, right? Sticks out one hand and gets up. Number one, passes too hard. It's too
right.
hot. It's too short, too hot. And he's probably rushing his mechanics.
Yeah, the footwork seemed.
Yeah, and he needs to slow down. And the other thing is, but with Wandale, he's going to have to get used to is, guys, the catch radius is not big.
Yeah.
That's a small target. That's a small. So for a quarterback who's not the most accurate, who's not Brady, not Breeze, it's a bigger challenge because he's got to be more accurate with a guy with that small of a catch radius. And you saw that on those two plays. He needs to take a little bit off, be a little bit more accurate. And I agree with Coach Saleh when he said he was too sped up. He was trying to do it all too quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not saying you need to just take it, but you got to. It's just like going through your reads. You got to go through your reads, but you also got to go through your drop, go through your plant, point at your target, and throw the football. First preseason game. If he does it in the second one, then I'm going to be more concerned. But it's the first one, so I'm just going to use it as a learning data point and see, do you get better from that point forward?
Right, and we've seen two practices since then. I said this yesterday. I'm not big on stats at practices, but
yeah.
Jim Wyatt has put it in his article that he's 43 of 53 throwing the football in the
okay.
last two practices. He's been more accurate. Sunday, Saturday apparently was a great day for him. I thought he
yeah,
was
I was
up
not
and down.
Here for that one, but I heard it was really good.
I thought he was up and down yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought
I
there
too.
Was the fourth and eighth throw to Carnell Tate was ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean,
great.
It fit it between two defenders when you needed to have it. He made the big throw. In general, he didn't have much time to throw on
yeah.
Monday. I mentioned it yesterday. I was like, Jeffrey Simmons and Jermaine
no.
Johnson just blew
yeah.
up that practice.
Yeah, there was one play where Simmons was lined up over Carmona and
just
Carmona barely got a hand on him.
Yeah,
he was just by him.
Well, and the fourth and eight play, he didn't get by him, but Fernando Carmona put it in reverse quickly
because
he had him on skates.
Yeah, he had him on the skates going back. Yeah, Jeff's playing at a pretty high level, but again. They didn't have much of a pass rush in San Francisco.
No, they didn't.
So, you know, are we concerned that Jeff isn't going to be able to rush the passer? He didn't have any sacks, guys. I
yeah.
don't think he hit the quarterback. I mean, come on.
He did draw one holding penalty.
He did. And okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Because I hear people say, well, they're lucky they got the holding penalty because it was a third down conversion.
Yeah.
Jeff drew the holding
yeah.
penalty because he won the rep.
If the guard didn't tackle him, he
yes.
would have hit the quarterback.
Yes. Okay, so, you know, drawing a holding penalty is a win.
It's basically a sack.
It's a win for the defensive
yeah.
line. You drew that penalty because you won. It wasn't a lucky penalty. It was one that you earned.
Right.
All right? So I'm going to say this. Titans, you don't need to apologize for drawing a holding penalty. Okay? That's a win. Don't worry about it. There's nothing lucky about it. Now, we all, look, there are lucky calls or lucky no calls. We've seen them. But that was a pure win and a tackle. That
yes.
was it.
Yep.
It's a good play.
These guys are professionals. If they didn't have to hold, they wouldn't hold.
Yeah.
Like, if they could make the block without holding, they would.
Speaking of that, do we think Cordell Volson makes the team at this point?
I don't know. I mean, the fact that they ran out Carmona with the ones and the twos instead of letting
yeah.
Volson play. I think that shows you that
Volson did play, it was not good.
Yeah, he got beat pretty badly on
yeah.
the last Levis sack.
He got beat badly a few times.
Yeah, it was.
I don't – look, and again, I don't have anything against Cordell Volson. I haven't met him to this point. But when you got young guys who you want to play and find out – he hasn't shown a reason that he
yeah.
needs to be the one out here. And look – the fact that he's already been replaced, you
right.
know, and they put Slater out there before, and they said they were going to run through these guys, but they wanted someone to beat him out.
Yeah, and that's the ideal scenario for the Titans is one of the young guys
yeah.
wins. Volson was there as, hey, if they're not ready, we've got somebody who's
yeah.
played NFL football before.
Yes.
But you've seen that that Carmona has seemingly taken that job and run away with it, at least
yeah.
as of right now. So
yeah, he's going to have to really drop off to lose the spot.
Yeah, I mean – it seems like they're working Slater in more at center now to,
yep.
to just see what he can do there.
And they're moving Andre James over to guard some. So I think they're looking at those two guys as swing guards.
Yep.
which is I like Andre James. I've said this a few times on a few different programs. Andre James is an established pro, started a lot of games, and when I've watched him take reps, I think he's looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm good with him being on the roster.
I haven't noticed much from Coogan, but I have seen him getting earlier reps here and there.
Yeah,
so
and I think they've run him at guard a little bit, yeah, too. I mean, he's primarily a center, but if he's going to be on this team, he's going to have to play both.
Yeah, but it seems like the Titans, as of now, have settled on their five. Things are subject to change still with a couple weeks to go
swing
till the season.
Tackle?
But swing tackles is going to be a mess.
That's a nightmare right
Deculus
now.
Was horrible on Thursday night.
Yeah, like is Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon ready? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be better than Deculus, right?
Well, you're better than Deculus. I'm sorry.
I highly doubt that.
I don't know him. I've never met him. But I know what happened last year in Los Angeles, and I know what's happened out here in camp, and I know what happened in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
And all of them say the same thing. It's not good enough.
Right.
It's not good enough.
I'll work on my pass sets during the break, see if I'm ready.
Yeah, it's not good enough. And, you know, I think it's reasonable and fair to say that the swing tackle might not be on the roster right now.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, not a lot of swing tackles become available.
Well, there are guys out there right now who are holding out for starting jobs.
Yeah, is Conklin still out
there? Conklin's still available. Yeah. Taylor Decker's still available. Those guys want to be starters.
Yeah, they're not going to come in to be the swing. Not for like 1.8.
But you need it. You need a job, right? If you want to play, if nobody gets hurt.
Both of those guys have probably made nine figures in their career.
Yeah.
They don't need to come back to sit on the bench.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Maybe they want to, but I don't think they're going to.
And Dan Moore and J.C. Latham have both been fine. From what I think Latham's actually taken a pretty big step forward so far.
Latham's been far more physical. You know, which he needed to be. For a guy that size, he needs to be a dump truck out there.
Yeah.
And he's playing angrier.
Right. There is no revolution without bloodshed.
Yeah. And, you know, so I think, you know, the mental coach thing, maybe there's something to that.
Yeah.
I think Saleh's message of violence and physicality. I think he spent a lot of time talking to Jeff, and Jeff, you know, challenging him to be great. Because, you know, when talking to Saleh before the game at our production meeting, I asked him, he told Pat McAfee that Jeff was even better than he thought he was going to be. He knew he was great, but he's even better. And I said, what is that? You know, what drew that? He goes, well, he's like, you know, money says a lot about a guy, and it usually just reveals more of what they are.
Right.
And that's exactly what this extension has done with Jeff. It's revealed more of him being a better leader, even working harder. I mean, look at his body.
Yeah.
I mean, his body is like, okay, I'm a kid of the 80s. You remember Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk? If you painted Jeff Green now, he is the freaking incredible. He is Derrick Henry plus about 60 pounds. I mean, he is enormous. He is chiseled. He has abs. I mean, you know, you know how some guys you see their back and like there's back and then like the lats just look like wings attached to the sides of their bodies. That's him.
Yeah.
I mean, I always call it an action figure physique.
Right.
I mean, yeah, like Mr. Incredible, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's huge up top. He's tiny at the waist, and he knew that money was coming.
Right.
But he's here for the money, but he's also here to be great. To be great. And, you know, he strings together another two more years like last year, and suddenly he gets into the Hall of Fame conversation.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's a long way away. So I don't want people to go, Corey says Jeff's a Hall of Fame. I'm not. I'm saying you string together a couple more 10, 11 sack seasons, team starts to win. You know, one of the big things about, like, Hall of Fame is, are you the best player at your position? And right now he is. You know, he's got to hold on to that mantle for a little while.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens there.
Speaking of action figure builds, we got to interview Femi
on Monday.
He came up here, and it's just like
he's huge.
As big as you think he is on the field, he's bigger when he's up close in person.
Yeah, did he say how much weight he's gained from last year?
He didn't say specifically. Yeah. We asked him what he had been working on. He said just getting his body right and all that stuff. He didn't say specifically how much weight he's put on, but he's huge.
Yeah, no, he's a great, great big man. You know, he's very chunky.
Yeah,
you know, because he's really thick in the legs and the arms. It's like, what, you know, most of the guys who get hurt are a little more spindly.
Yeah.
You know, tall and just, you know. The
right.
And that's, you know, I guess his leg was a broken leg.
Fractured.
Yeah, so it wasn't a ligament deal. But, yeah, I mean, he made the play, like first play of the game. I was watching him because I was thinking about you. So first snap of the game, I'm watching Femi. No one blocks him.
Right.
Whack.
I wrote down on the grid for the next day. I was like, Femi makes another play. Unblocked.
Yes. I'm like, do people just see seven and say, hey, don't block him. He's not going to make the play. But when they don't block him,
he does. Yeah.
But I did think he was also more active
than
he was a year ago.
I agree.
So we'll see if that can continue. They need him. I mean, the good news for him this year, he doesn't need to start.
Right.
But they do need him to be a rotational piece that can be effective.
Yep.
And so we'll see. I do think he's got to add to his arsenal of move.
I agree.
Not moves. His arsenal of move.
Yeah, he can't just be bull rush every single play.
It's just the same thing every time. He just comes around the edge. There's no hand fighting. There's no spin. He's got to add some variety to it.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Keep up with Titans training camp with us here at 1025 The Game for the latest updates, player interviews, and more as we get you prepped for the upcoming football season. Coverage of training camp is presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. More Titans talk coming up next. Again, Titans practice gets going in about 45 minutes. We'll have updates throughout the show. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Had to know this one was coming at some point.
Good 48 hours in Chicago.
Well, well, on the north side.
Good 48 hours in Chicago. Northern Indiana, not so much.
We don't even acknowledge the team on the south side.
Well, that's Northern Indiana's team.
I'm with you guys because the Tigers need the White Sox to keep losing. So go Cubbies.
Between the two walk-off wins and the Green Bay sucks chant during the rain delay, it's been fantastic.
Yeah,
Chicago and Northern Indiana fans united to
keep hatred and rivalries.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Even in that rivalry, you can all come together to hate the Packers.
I hate the Packers and the St. Louis Cardinals so much. So much. I mean, it pours. I'm like a Sith Lord when it comes to those teams. I let the hate flow through me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the team I hate the most. I mean, the University of Virginia takes the cake in that.
We're you and Glennon together then.
That one,
he can bring some wine and cheese.
Yeah.
You can bring like some beef jerky.
Turkey leg.
Yeah. Sure.
That one's been ingrained in me since I was born. I would say the Cleveland Guardians is probably the other one that I would put in that category. I hate that team.
See, I would think as a Tiger fan, but I'm older than you. I'd go back to like the Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't like the Yankees, but the last few years, the Guardians and their devil magic baseball that they play.
Baseball.
They don't hit the ball hard. They hit like – it's like, oh.
So then the St. Louis Cardinals of the 70s and
80s. We're going to hit a 72-mile-an-hour dribbler, but it's going to go to the perfect spot, and it's going to be a base hit.
This is what I grew up with, okay? The Cubs playing the Cardinals with Whitey Herzog. The Cardinals come to town, and, you know, Willie McGee bats leadoff, and he walks. And then he steals second. Ozzie Smith is batting second, and he bunts, and McGee gets to third. Tommy Herr hits a three-hop chopper to shortstop, 1-0 Cardinals.
Yep.
Whitey ball. And I'm like, this is the worst baseball.
Cleveland calls it guards ball.
Baseball of all time.
It's the worst. And the Tigers, have had to play them in the playoffs the last 2 years, which has been brutal. Let's go to the phone lines here. We've got two callers waiting. Let's go with Gil from California first. Gil, thanks for waiting.
I was just in California. Gil, let's go.
Oh, is that right? You was out here, huh?
I was in San Jose. I was in Santa Clara.
Oh, that's what's up, man. How'd you like the weather?
Oh, my God. It was 82 and sunny and, like, zero humidity. It was amazing. And you know what I also loved? One of the 12 Asian restaurants in the strip mall that was across the street from the hotel. There was literally nothing else to eat. If you did not like Asian food, fortunately I do.
You're out of luck.
There were no other choices. That was it. I was the only Caucasian in the restaurant.
There you go.
Good luck with that. Yeah, I'm out here in Los Angeles area, but we got a lot of food places down this way.
Yeah, I like LA too. What do you got, Gil?
Yeah. So what I wanted to say is about Cam Ward. I'm hearing about his practices and he's looking good and everything, but I would say that the game to me, this game coming up is more important than the joint practices because I want to see how he plays with the red shirt comes off. Because from what I've seen from last season until now, it's like he plays backyard football under pressure, and that becomes his offensive tackle's worst nightmare. So I want to see if he can play fundamental football and do what he's supposed to do. But I'm glad with this new coaching staff that they're actually putting him in a game setting where the other guy's trying to take you out. You know what I mean? He has his red shirt on. He's all good. But when that red shirt come off, I want him to see him to represent that number one. The reason why I'm a Titans fan. He got to represent it, man.
Yeah, Warren Moon, there you go. And, Gil, I agree with you because when we watch out here in practice, there's a lot of times where, like, Jeff Simmons blows up and, you know, he doesn't hit him. He just kind of runs by him, and Cam hangs on to the football and plays on because he can.
Yeah.
Because he can.
Right.
And when you're out there in the preseason game and that's Leonard Williams, you're dead, okay? You get smoked or you're just running for your life.
Right.
And so I think Gil is on to something there, you know, that, you know, he does have a tendency to try to float plays out and stretch him out a little longer when – he needs to be processing quicker and just saying, okay, pressure's on, I got to go here.
Right.
And that's not in his nature. And so you don't want to coach all of it out of his nature, but
you got to channel it.
You got to channel it, and you got to know there's time and place for everything.
Right.
First and 10, get rid of the football. Get rid of the football, take your 5 yards, and go on to second down. That's a good play. You know, third down, if you need to hang on to it to make something happen, then that's your time. You know, time's running out, then that's your time.
Yeah.
But – first down, second down, just take your checkdowns, you make your reads, and move. And I think, you know, I think he is right about that, that it's we need to see him do it with the red shirt off because in practice we see it all the time where he makes plays after he would have been sacked.
Right. No, I think that's a good point of he needs to kind of trust the pocket a little bit more too. I think we saw on Thursday night where he started to get the happy feet and wanted to get out of the pocket when he really didn't need to.
He just wants something to happen.
Right.
And you know, I think there's some maturity that has to come there.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we saw it in the Netflix series.
Yeah.
All right. I heard Brian Callahan talk about it when we would meet with him. You know, they want him to be able to accept boring football.
Right.
Which is find your running back, find your tight end, get to your next play.
Yep.
And he hates that. He hates it. I mean, he doesn't say that, but, I mean, you could tell he's fighting it.
He wants to hunt every play.
Yes, he wants to hunt every – but this isn't college football.
Right.
The great ones do the boring thing over and over and over.
Yeah. Matt Stafford, Joe Burrow.
Yep.
I mean, Pat Mahomes.
Tom Brady.
They take check down after check down, and then all of a sudden on third and eight – it snuck in there for 12 yards and a first down, and you're like, what a throw.
Yep.
Because that was the time when they had to have it. But the rest of it, they're just taken. I mean, Julius Edelman made a career out of that, like, five-yard turnaround catch
the
football.
Right, the little zig route out. Yeah,
I mean it's, it wasn't much, but Brady just put it on him, and they just kept moving the chains.
And that's why, the intentional grounding play, that was on first and 10.
Yeah.
You can't have that on first down.
And he's got Gunnar Helm wide open.
Right. You got to take what you can get on first down, and then when you need it on third down, that's when you try and make those plays.
Yeah, you can't – I mean, look, Brian Callahan used to tell me – because I used to tell him first down interceptions were the bane of my existence – because throwing an interception on first down is inexcusable.
Right.
But he's for him, the bane of his existence, first down sacks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get that.
That makes sense.
Because there's no reason to take a sack on first down. Throw it away. It's second and 10.
Right.
Get rid of it. Throw it away. And just like that, he tried to throw it away.
But he
hung on to it
too
long.
Yeah.
He hung on to it too long. So he's got to be willing to accept failure, because sometimes failure is not the worst option.
Right.
And you've got to be willing to accept second down. It's okay. We're going. You know what? First down, they got us.
Right.
We got two more, baby.
Yep. You would have taken second and 10, right, on that drive because he hits Robinson on the slant, and it would have been a first down. But instead, now it's third and 9 or whatever it ended up
being. Wasn't
that
the first drive?
That was the second drive.
Second drive, okay.
Yep. 615-737-1025. We have to take a break. Trey, we see you on hold. We will get to you, Trey.
That's my fault, Trey.
Next.
I talked forever.
We will get to Trey to wrap up hour number one. Always want to hear his insights and analysis. We will keep talking Titans. We'll get into some college football coming up in hour number two. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Live from Titans training camp. Practice going to get started in under 30 minutes here from Vanderbilt Health Football Center.
Anybody out there yet? Nope.
Not yet. People will probably start slowly making their way out in the next few minutes. Again, it is open to the fans. They open this one up, so we will
last minute decision.
Right. We will give you some updates.
I think they just didn't want to pack.
Yeah, it might be true. We will give you updates once the team drills start. Usually that's a little after 11 a.m. All right, we've waited long enough. Trey is on hold. Trey, good morning. What you got for us this morning?
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing, man?
We're better now.
Hey, I just want to say, Corey, I saw you doing the broadcast. You did a great job, buddy.
Trey, how did you see it through the radio?
Well, I said that I was going to watch the game, and I watched the game, and I saw you. You was brilliant.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate it. You watching means the world to me.
Hey, I had to put that out there. Hey, but I just wanted to say that with Cam Ward, you know, I'm gonna stretch the first preseason game. You know, we won, you know, and all that is all good. But what I'm looking for is, does he change the offensive plays at the line, or is it one singular play that they give him to run the offense? Because it seems like to me that he has a hard time reading defenses. I don't know if it's mental, and this is just what I've seen. And I don't know if he has a problem reading defenses to get the ball out on time, but he also needs to come up off of that ball a whole lot more than what he has been. You know, it's not a baseball. This isn't church football after Sunday. He got to lay that ball in there so those guys can catch the ball, you know. And those are the two things I wish that he would, you know, do better at, you know, because I'm a statistics guy, you know, and I love statistics, and I want him to progress going north. And this is his opportunity to be better and to show the Titans fans that he wants to be better. You know, this isn't a modeling thing. This isn't, you know, I got 5 years to be better. No, he needs to be better, and it needs to start this season. This isn't anything about feelings. This isn't emotional. Cam Ward needs to be better to show us before we go into this new stadium that he wants to be the quarterback of the Titans. And I don't see that I don't see it. I don't see it. And I love you guys, and y'all have a good day. God bless y'all.
Thank you.
No, we love you, Trey. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it. Look, we've all said it on the show that he needs to play better than he did in Santa Clara. Cam Ward wants to play better than he did in Santa Clara. Cam Ward wants to be great yesterday, and that's part of his problem, is wanting to make the big play all the time. And sometimes being great, as we've talked about with some of the great quarterbacks in the league, is accepting the boring. And that's a maturity process as much as it is a learning one. And it's being able to, you know, it's like driving on the interstate when there's nobody in front of you and you go, if I go 85, I'm not putting anybody in danger. But it's still illegal.
Yep.
All right? And so it's a maturing, growing up process and trying to scale back something that's been ingrained in him, and in an era where we want instant gratification from our quarterbacks. And I always go back to this. Peyton Manning's first 5 years in the league threw 100 interceptions. 100. Nowadays, that gets you benched. All right? Brett Favre was an interception machine when he came into the league, but he made plays. And then as he got older, what did he learn to do? He learned to pick his spots, make the big play when he had to, take some of the boring, you know, obviously running a lot and taking those yards. But there was a maturing process, even for Brett Favre, who's as big of a Cowboy as there was out there at quarterback. And so, you know, he's 17 games into his NFL career, and, you know, yep, he's got to be better. And, you know, wanting to be better and wanting to be great isn't enough. You've got to be great at some point.
Yep.
But I'm willing to watch the young man grow a little bit.
I agree. To answer Trey's first question, yes, Cam Ward does have the option to check out of plays at the line of scrimmage. At least that's what we've been told. But he made the point the Titans won the preseason game, which is, that's always important.
Yeah. I brought
to Trey.
That up to Peter Skoronski in the locker room, and he's – it's like we went 3-0 last year, 2-1 the year before.
Yeah, we made that point last week.
The Lions went 4-0 and they went 0-16.
Brian Callahan has more preseason wins than regular season wins as a head coach. So take everything with a grain of salt. I even said Friday, we were coming back from break, and I go, Titans fall last night in San Francisco. And it's like, oh, wait, it only feels like they lost. They actually did win the game.
Like, well, that was because, like, you know, the other thing, you know, Cam's struggles overshadowed the defense some.
Right.
You know, we're all disappointed with the defense on a night where they gave up 13 points.
Yeah, against the – but they gave up 7 points to the Curtis Rourke-led drives, but that was your first-string defense.
Yeah.
Like, that – you
went
probably
great.
Want to see better from that.
Well, exactly. But I'm just saying, when you look at the end result,
it
doesn't fit the narrative.
Right.
But that's what the preseason's about. It's not about the end result.
Yeah.
It's about all the stories that happened before you get there.
That's true. Preseason, you nitpick every little play and the score doesn't matter. Where in the regular season, you're looking at every play, but if the Titans end up winning, some of that gets overshadowed.
Yeah.
Whereas if they lose, some of the good stuff gets overshadowed.
I don't know many people who are talking about them winning this week.
No. I don't think there is...
I think the fans have also seen enough preseason victories to know...
They don't matter much.
No, they don't matter much.
Except to Trey. Trey loves a good preseason win.
Winning is always better than losing. I will say that. And you like to see the way they closed it out.
Yep.
You know, you get the drive, you get the field goal, you go up. You know, I think Joey Sly, Carmona, and Latham are three of the biggest winners of that game. But Sly going 7-for-7 in San Francisco
and then
in the
4-for-4 in the preseason
4-for-4,
game.
3-over-50. And then coming back out here Saturday and Monday, and he was perfect those 2 days as well. Yeah,
Need a little push of them working out other kickers.
I don't think, from what I heard, his job was not in jeopardy. But there's a reason you bring in three kickers.
Right.
I think Bones Fossil is a huge believer in Joey Sly. But I think Joey probably needed to show it for himself.
Yeah.
And he needed to show his team. I mean, he was spectacular in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
I mean,
53, 55, 58.
And the last one, he hit it with a draw.
Yeah.
He hit it right to left. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, he looked great, and that should make Titans fans feel a little bit better about the kicking game heading into the season. 615.
Fantasy pick, Joey Sly.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe the highest pick Titans player in fantasy.
Fourth round.
615-737-1025. Hour number one in the books. Again, we are live at Titans training camp. Practice going to get started in the next 15 minutes. We're going to flip over and talk some college football while they go through the individual drills. We'll get back into the Titans coming up later on in the show. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.